Hello, and welcome to another Apple This podcast.
All right, good afternoon. This is Scott Howell and
Keith Watson.
We're going to demonstrate Keyboard Maestro to you. And this is Keyboard Maestro 6.4. And a little bit of background about Keyboard Maestro. And Keyboard Maestro is a utility. You could argue it's a productivity application, and you can argue it's a utility. But what you can't argue is the fact that it gives you some incredible flexibility in how you can leverage your Mac's other applications and functions of the OS to perform many very interesting tasks. We will definitely talk about those a little bit. So, Keith, what is your thoughts about Keyboard Maestro?
It's become a go-to app. It's one of the first things I'll ever install on a Mac that I own, any new Macs. Very quickly became something I really can't live without. It's just an awesome application. I can't say much more about it.
Well, and I think it's interesting to point out that when I've heard about Keyboard Maestro here and there and really didn't know how it would fit into my workflow. And the retail price of the application is $36. And the reason why I point that out now is the fact that you're going to be wondering, why would I want to spend that much money? Well, interestingly enough, when Keith started kind of exploring what could be done with Keyboard Maestro, I downloaded the demo and I kind of installed it. And I'm like, you know, I'm not really sure how I'm going to make this, you know, really work for me. And Keith started coming up with these ideas. And it just all of a sudden hit me that what you can do with this app is absolutely amazing. And before we get into the interface, we'll touch on a couple of things that and I got to tell you, Keith's the brains behind all this. He's figured a lot of this stuff out. He figured out how to make Apple scripts and so forth to do some really interesting things. And Keith, you did do a couple of things actually with your MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Your MacBook Air, because you have an Air. You have it installed on your Air and your Mini, right?
Yes, both of them. Really, funny enough, this all started with, I had done a lot of stuff with Apple scripting and creating little scripts that would do things. It was kind of like a dashboard thing. The problem was with VoiceOver's control or keyboard commander, you could only use the right option key to add any keys to. Sure, and then you could also go and add keys to the system from System Preferences keyboard as well. But, you know, it's just kind of kludgy. This all tied it into one app, one-time install or creation, and it aggregates to all my systems, being only two of them at the time. But so anyway, what I've done is like, for instance, there's a caffeine application in the Mac Store. It basically turns on and turns off your sleep mode. So there's times when I'm sitting on an audio chat or an audio chat that I don't want my system to go to sleep, but I won't touch the keyboard for a while. Well, the problem with that app was that, yes, it's Apple scriptable, but the menu item did not have any voiceover access to it. So I was able to create an Apple script that, here, I'll show you real quick, that gave me the state of it.
Caffeine is enabled.
And I can toggle it by...
Caffeine disabled. Caffeine enabled.
Like so. So I've got other things, battery status.
94%.
One of the quick things I like to do also is to know, seeing as I've only got a 128 gig SSD on this Mini, or excuse me, Air, I keep a close track on how much remaining disk space I have. So I just created a little quick script that would tell me.
22 G free.
I only got 22 gig free left on it. So things like that, just everyday things, time, weather. Created a weather app, you know, things, dashboard type stuff.
And that's just scratching the surface.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's
what got me hooked. That's what started me into it. It's like, oh yeah, I can get all this in this location. So
that was the gateway drug.
Yeah.
Then then we pulled out the stops and tried some other really slick stuff. And this is the one that I love to talk about because it makes my eyes light up because it is just too cool. We had the idea of Keith had the idea of getting his AT&T bill and using Hazel to convert the file to something other than, you know, it really based on the month and the year, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so normally when you download your paperless bill, it's your account number and so forth. So you need a couple of extra pieces here to make this work, but just to kind of give you an idea of the power that you have at your disposal with using Keyboard Maestro, AppleScript, and Hazel, and hey, even the mail.app here, you know, the Apple's mail program fits into this. Every month you get an email. You get an email from AT&T, and we have an AppleScript that will fire off when that email shows up. And that, in turn, fires off a Keyboard Maestro command. And all kinds of really cool stuff happens behind the scenes with combining all these applications together to basically check the file out, make sure that it's been OCR'd. And then that file's moved into a folder that you can keep all your statements in, and add the fact that you have a due date and the amount of that bill to your calendar. Now, I've streamlined this considerably because you could take this process and really could do a lot with it. In fact, we even have the ability to send this to OmniFocus. Right now, we're kind of using a workaround through mail as opposed to OmniFocus actually on the Mac, but that is very much a possibility. Pretty much, I think it's fair to say that if the application's scriptable, there's virtually nothing that you can't do. And Keyboard Maestro can handle Python. I believe it's Ruby as well. AppleScript, Automator, Workflows. There's a whole rack of things it can deal with, and you can do it through keyboard script or keyboard macros or other types of triggers. In fact, it can be Wi-Fi. There's just so many things.
USB connected.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell them about the ScanSnap scanner that you have.
Oh, that's... Well, I can...
It's a simple one, but this just gives you some idea of what you can do in terms of further automating some of the processes.
So what I've got is, I should have done this before, but I'm hooking up my scanner, and so now it's hooked up, and when I open the lid, come on, where's the lid?
Now establishing data link.
So,
manager, voiceover settings activity.
So what that has done, of course, is
launched the ScanSnap manager, and it's ready to scan. I'll close it. Why is it not?
Finder, audio hijack window, dim text.
I don't think it's closing.
Yeah, it just shut the. Sounded like it shut the door.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
I noticed. But.
So I mean, just one more thing. To just sort of show you how you can use this application to just streamline, you could plug it in, and for those of you who don't know what the ScanSnap scanner is, this is the S1100. It's looks like a couple of Snickers bars put together. It's not very big, and it's a single sheet USB powered scanner. But you could plug all this stuff in and launch the application. But why not leverage your machine's ability to do these kinds of activities for you by using a program like Keyboard Maestro. And if you tie into applications like, Hazel, and I'm sure there's other apps you could even throw into the mix here that just make things a lot simpler. I mean, why make things hard for yourself if you don't have to? And in fact, to go back to the AT&T bill example, what made that kind of a really neat thing is I use I use 1Password, but in this case, I wanted to have the ability to, you know, just let this whole thing run itself without me having to unlock my vault for 1Password. So once the email shows up, it pretty much just runs itself, and because I have my AT&T password in my keychain, which is encrypted, so you know, I don't worry too much about the security aspect of this. It logs in. We've kind of been able to use voiceover commands on the website even to trigger you know, certain things on the page, like the bill, the button to download the bill. Because we couldn't figure out how to get it to work with Keyboard Maestro yet, we just kind of cheated a little bit and just used voiceover commands, which you can use in Keyboard Maestro, and it's almost as though you pushed via spacebar, but it's Keyboard Maestro doing that heavy lifting for you.
Yep.
So, I guess we've kind of sold everybody on the product, and they're all going to run out and buy it, right? So.
Yes, so I think it's time to show them what's going on with the interface.
Exactly.
So, well, let's tell them a little bit about Peter first. I mean, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, once in 6.3, it was mostly accessible. There were things about it that were a little confusing at first. It took a bit to get my head wrapped around some of the, you know, the ways that the interface was reacting to VoiceOver, but finally got my head wrapped around that. And in the meantime, sold Scott on the idea of purchasing Keyboard Maestro, at which point he, in all his ultimate writing glory, reached out to Peter, and we started a dialogue. And unbelievably, thank God he was in a beta, because within, what, Scott, 3 weeks?
Easily, yeah. I mean, if not less. I mean, he was just amazing.
he pulled us into the beta team and just implemented all our suggestions and really made it as accessible as it could be at the release of 6.4. That there are a few areas of the app that are still not accessible, mostly in the switcher screens, which are custom UIs that he is planning on looking at and working on, but just did not have time to do. So.
Yeah. Peter Lewis is the developer, and I got to tell you, I mean, he wasn't that familiar with accessibility. And when we approached him, you know, he was kind of like, hey, you know, okay, let me see what I can do. A lot of the issues initially were just labeling buttons, you know, simple kind of low hanging fruit stuff. But Peter latched onto this and really ran with it. You know, he even, and we'll show you this, he even labeled the scroll areas. And that is something that I haven't really seen any developer really take the time and the detail to do. And he was very easy to work with. We did all of this actually through email. So it was just, and we're in different time zones even. So it was interesting to work with the developer in this way and be able to explain to him, you know, here's what we're trying to accomplish, here's what we understand. And he would come back and say, okay, I've done such and such, so tell me what you think. And literally, I mean, within, you know, 2-3 weeks, he had hammered out more than we could have asked for and did a phenomenal job. And that's really why we're putting the podcast together. It's not to say that other developers have not done equally incredible work. It's that it's nice to be able to showcase what a developer has done and a developer who wasn't initially that familiar with accessibility and how quickly he was able to kind of jump on it.
Yeah, that's the cool part.
Yeah. And I think what's also a takeaway from this podcast, I would hope that everyone will take away is definitely the fact that, you know, you can work with developers. I mean, especially a lot of the small developers, they're more than willing to listen to you. You know, approach them not with your application's broken and it's not accessible and, you know, would like you to fix it. You know, look at the application, try to evaluate what the issues are, and approach them with, you know, some areas, especially things that are easy to do, like labeling buttons, you know, unless they're heavily customized. There are ways to address that, and even though they might be, you know, heavily customized, they'll usually there's still a workaround or a way to label it. I'm not a programmer. I don't know the interface builder, but I think that Apple's supplied enough hooks and APIs and tricks and so forth to make this happen. And that actually does kind of also add to the fact that Apple has done such an amazing job of making it possible for developers to do this themselves, as opposed to depending on, you know, the screen reader developer to actually have to do all this extra work. So with that, the interface. So the interface, and Keith, you might, I think you can describe it kind of from a visual perspective, as far as, I think it's like, what, so we have two scroll areas that you can access, but I think it's kind of a...
When I was trying to describe it to Peter, I put it into the graphic of a tic-tac-toe board. A modified one where you have the top row is three boxes. The middle row is made up of two boxes side by side, and the bottom row is a single box. So in the top box, you've got the couple areas, the group area, the macro area, and I'm not remembering what the right-hand one was. What was that? Hold on, let me look.
Samsung Aggregate 201-404-01-182.wav, waveform audio.
Oh, I'm not there. So.
Keyboard Maestro, Keyboard Maestro Editor, Window, Apple Script Editor Activity, Macros, Scroll Area.
Let's go to the top.
Search text field. Groups.
So that's the top groups.
Vertical splitter. Sort by name. Uncheck
that's
checkbox.
Why, that's
vertical
why splitter. Chose the tic-tac-toe grid because of that vertical splitter there.
Sort by name. Uncheck checkbox.
You're now in the middle area with the macros.
Sort by trigger. Dip. Vertical splitter.
Then another vertical splitter.
Macro edit detail. Scroll area.
Ah, the edit detail. That the edit detail area is where you build your macro. Then you proceed on. You'll loop around into the middle row with the two areas being the groups area and the macros macro actions.
Macro groups scroll area.
There's your macro groups.
Macros scroll area. Macro groups scroll area.
And that was another thing that Scott just mentioned earlier was that the scroll areas are labeled. I know now that that's generally you'll just get scroll area, you know, and then you kind of have to know. He was nice enough to
macros scroll area
label them for us. So these are all your macros. You will, and then of course there's a bunch of buttons along the bottom that are macro control actions that you can go through. I'm not going to go through that all those right now, but generally what'll happen is
macro groups scroll area.
Scott, I was going to let you do this, but I guess I took over, huh?
That's fine.
So we got the group scroll area.
Interact with macro groups scroll area. 10 items, all macros, macro group.
You got your all, there's all macros.
Clipboards, macro group. Global macro group, macro group. KM only, macro group.
I'm going to go in here into the KM only.
Press KM only.
I've got a simple one in here.
Stop interacting with macro groups.
Oh,
press enable slash disable button period. Option shift command T macro.
Be a little more descriptive as to what I did. I did a VO space bar to select it. I selected it, stopped interacting with scroll area. Now I'm gone in and
interact with press enable slash disable button period. Option shift command T macro. Three items image.
I've interacted with it.
Authentication has system dialog. One system dialog displayed. Authentication. Login panel.
Sorry about
dialogue.
That. My machine decided to try to lock itself. Isn't that rude?
Aha, see, there's where caffeine comes in handy.
Exactly.
So I'm going to select the macro.
Press enable slash disable button period. Option shift command T.
That's the name of the macro. I wanted to take a look at this macro. Now, one of the things that Peter was good enough to do here was do a VOJ. We'll just jump you directly to the edit area.
Interact with macro edit detail scroll area. 15 items image.
So this is the macro edit area. And if you can walk across this, we'll go to
right. Period. Crisp period. Press enable slash disable button. Content selected edit text.
That's the title.
Enabled. Checkbox.
Whether or not you can disable or enable the macros.
Triggered by any of the following. When keyboard maestro is at front, parent colon.
So it's triggered by any of the following.
Add trigger button.
I don't want to add a trigger, but this is where you generally add.
Delete trigger button. Miss hotkey colon, pop-up button, delete trigger button.
That was another thing. I mean, these are all the little things he's done. All these buttons weren't labeled at first. visually, it's a green circle and a red circle, filled circle. I had my daughter tell me that. And what are those for? I have no idea.
Miss hotkey colon, pop-up button.
So this is your pop-up button for what types.
And menu check mark, miss hotkey colon.
Example, you can do...
miss strings type colon. This application colon.
This application.
At login period.
At login.
At engine launch period.
Engine launch. That's keyboard maestro engine launch.
At system wake period.
When you wake up the system.
At time colon.
At a particular time. That's kind of cool.
While logged in colon.
I've not found a use for that one, but I suppose while I'm logged in, I could maybe turn caffeine on or off. I don't know.
The macro palette entry is click period.
Those are the problem child areas, the palettes. And he assured us he's going to take a look at those and work on them.
The status menu item is selected period. Web entry is executed period. This volume colon. The public web entry is executed period.
That one's pretty cool. If you're on a public website or something, you can do things. One of the things you can do is turn off or turn on your firewall based on whether, you know, what Wi-Fi you're connected to. If you're home, turn it off. If you're on a coffee shop or wherever, you turn it back on.
This volume colon.
Whatever volume connected to, do something.
This USB device colon.
There's that USB device that I used for the ScanSnap. That's pretty awesome.
This wireless network colon.
There's the wireless network.
This device key colon. This mini note colon. Check mark. This hotkey colon.
And background of this hotkey.
And that mini note, by the way, is if you happen to have a keyboard hooked up, you supposedly could push musical notes and make things happen. So I don't have a keyboard, so I don't really know how all that works. But
oh, you mean like a
musical keyboard? At least that's from what I remember reading in the documentation.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen that, but I'm not a musician, and you are, so
not much of one.
so this
option command T key button.
This was the big thing.
Yeah.
In 6.3, this area was not visually or voiceover accessible. It was totally visual. He was able to act through the magic of whatever did, able to get us the, you know, whatever keys you're doing there. So basically what you do is when you're in that area, you just do an option
T.
You hit the keys that you want the hotkey to become, and boom,
menu button is pressed. Pop-up button.
I think it's worth pointing out really quickly though, once you set up the hotkey, you need to get out of that area, away from that button, because if you don't, and you do something silly like I've done a couple times, is where you hit Command Tab, you're kind of screwed, because then you can't switch applications, because now you've just assigned the hotkey, and then you're launching an action that you may not really want to at that point. So once you've put in your hotkey, you need to vacate the premises, as they say.
Exactly, pretty quickly.
Yeah, and you have to use voiceover navigation, because if you hit any key, like left or right or et cetera, that now becomes your hotkey.
Yep, exactly. So,
or by a web server, but all remote access is disabled, period.
Now, this is pretty cool. You can actually, there's an iPhone app. I haven't played with it yet, so I can't speak to the accessibility of it.
Very accessible, no problems.
Is it? You've played with it? Yeah. Okay, cool. And you can actually remotely fire off Keyboard Maestro events. I was listening to Mac Power Users today, actually. Katie has actually set one up where she can remotely reboot her system from her iPhone based on, even though she's got a, Scott, what is it, where you encrypt your...
It's a file vault, and it's a whole disk encryption.
Exactly. So even though, and you have to put your password in order to do that, but she saved it in her keychain and just runs a command line tool from Keyboard Maestro that will just run through the whole reboot script from a terminal.
And log her right back in. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also to point out, not only do you have access to the iPhone app, that you actually can. It has a little internal web server. It ties in with Apache on your Mac, which is a default web server that's installed. And you can even access it if you didn't have the iPhone app. You can actually, and it's pretty accessible. It's a little web app that you can log into remotely, and when we say log in remotely, if you're on the same network, no problems. If you're outside of your own network, you'll need to do some additional configuration in order to, you know, if you don't have a static IP, you're going to have to either know your IP address or use something like, you know, DIN DNS or one of these services where you can access your machine remotely. So I just thought it'd be worth pointing out.
Or connect to a VPN.
Yes.
On the local network and near.
Which is what I would recommend over everything else.
Yeah, it's the most secure.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then you get into the actions.
We'll execute the following actions, colon.
And
select left single quotation mark, toggle enable right single quotation mark in the menu, left single quotation mark view, right single quotation mark, and keyboard maestro action group.
Okay. That's quite a bit there. But what this, that was the title of it. Now that's an action group. I'm going to interact with that.
Interact with select left single quotation mark, toggle enable right single quotation mark in the menu, left image. Expanded disclosure triangle.
First thing you'll have is the disclosure triangle, which at this point is expanded.
Image.
An image, which is generally probably something visual that represents
right period, the first period, no faces period. Yeah. Select left single quotation mark, toggle enable right single quotation mark in the menu, left single quotation mark view, right single quotation mark, and keyboard maestro.
So what it's giving you there is exactly what it's doing. It's going to select this action. What I'm going to show you here is this action is I created. It's just a simple little one step action that goes up to the menu bar, clicks the view button, and then goes down and clicks on the toggle enabled. And what that does is you can toggle the enabled status on action. So if you've got a macro with say 10 or 12 actions and you're testing it out or whatever, you can turn various ones off. But there's a trick to it, and that's why that's one of the reasons I created this macro. When you select, or you have to select the action that you want to disable first by one going to the title, which is the third element in the group, and doing a VO shift space bar.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. I generally like to look and make sure that I know my mouse is tracking my VO cursor, but I like to check.
Select left single quotation mark, toggle enable right single quotation mark, in the menu, left single quotation mark, view, right single quotation mark, and keyboard maestro is under the mouse.
And it should be selected. I'm going to do shift 3.
Toggle enable.
Oh, that's better.
Stop interacting with type of command W keystroke action. Wait for Safari. Type of command W keystroke action group.
Now you hear it's not disabled. I'll interact.
Interact with type of image. Type of command W keystroke.
Go back over to the title, select it. Do a command shift 3.
Toggle enable.
Option shift 3. It says toggle enabled, which it did.
Stop interacting with.
Get out.
Wait. Type of command W keystroke period. Disable action group.
And it's disabled.
As you get into finding all these really awesome ways to use the application, it admittedly you can get so carried away that you can sometimes forget or run into conflicts that you weren't really aware of, and that's the one thing that you. Is kind of a best practice is try to find keystrokes that are pretty unusual. Like I will tend to use command option shift and, you know, things that make sense. So if you kind of try to pick a sort of a set pattern and that pattern being pick several keys and combine them with things that you can remember, like if I want to launch my AT&T action, I can do, you know, command option shift A, or you know, the same kind of keystrokes for and the letter D for date or T for time. And I know that sounds like a lot of keys, but there are ways of even hacking that and using other third party utilities to.
I know where you're going with that.
Yeah, you can kind of turn your caps lock key into the pretzel key combination that I just talked about. That's beyond the scope of this podcast, but it is certainly something that you can do. There's lots of things you can do. The only problem is that I'm finding more and more applications that actually do use, command option something or option something or command something. And I haven't seen any that actually use command option and shift something. So, it's just something to be aware of.
What you can do is, for instance,
new action button.
No.
Stop interacting. Macro groups scroll area. Interact with macro groups scroll area.
Set
clipboards. Macro global macro group. Macro group. KN only. Macro group. Global Macro Group. Global,
there's a bunch of these that are default. For instance, the Global Macro Group. That'll anything that you want to occur system-wide is where I stick all my macros there.
KM-only macro group.
This is a KM-only macro group that I've created that just for that single macro that I had that should have only occurred. The option shift T would not occur outside of that. Or if it did, if it was tied to something else, Keyboard Maestro would just bypass it unless I'm in Keyboard Maestro itself, which should have been doing anyway. One of the tricks, here's a little trick just to...
Global macro group, macro group, clipboards, macro group, all macros, macro group.
All macros is nifty because
press all macros.
What you can do is...
Clipboards, macro group.
No.
All stop interacting with macros, scroll area. Interact with macros, scroll area. 59 items, set clipboard to current finder folder path macro.
So I've got 59 items in here. And
stop interacting with macros, scroll area.
Up here,
sort by name, uncheck checkbox.
Thing that he's going to check. Or fixed.
Vertical splitter. Sort by name. Unchecked checkbox.
Sort by name is unchecked.
Macros. Sort by trigger. Dim unchecked checkbox.
Now, sort by trigger is checked, but it says dim unchecked. That's a bug. Just be aware of that. It's a seesaw toggle. Name or by.
Sort by trigger. Dim unchecked checkbox.
That I use that to sort so that what I can do now is walk down my macros list. If I'm looking for, do I have something that's tied to, let's say, W.
Macros. Sort by name. Macros. Scroll area.
Go into macros.
Interact with macros. Scroll area.
Go.
Wireless network. Limit period. Macro. Airplane. Disabled macro. Wireless networks. Period. Airplane. Scan. Snap. Connected. Period. Scan. Snap. Remove. Period. USB. Macro.
Those are USBs.
Open live. Period. Wait. Macro. Login actions. Period. Launch. Macro. For work. Period. 12:00. Disabled macro. Activate clipboard. Cut switcher. Period. Shift command X. Macro. Speak weather. Full. Period. Option shift W. Macro.
Option shift W. Oh, can't use that one.
Speak weather abbreviated period. Option W macro.
Weather abbreviated. It's just an option W. So you see, you can actually go down and see if that particular letter or option or hotkey has been taken up by a previous macro.
And I might be wrong, and I'm doing this from memory, which is always a little dangerous. But I believe that one of the things you can do is if you do have a key macro key conflict, I believe that when you issue the command, it pops up a little menu where you can select the action that you actually really wanted. I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to say that's absolutely the case, but I recall reading that when I read the manual and thought, well, I kind of glossed over it because I didn't think I would have that many macros, but I'm quickly discovering that I might be rather wrong about it because I keep thinking of more ways I can use this.
So where do you want to go from here?
Well, pretty much, I think at this point we've kind of demonstrated the interface, given you kind of an idea, a couple of examples of...
Ah, wait a minute. There was one other thing I wanted to let them know.
Okay.
This is another trick. When you are... Let me get...
Activate clipboard history switcher, period. Control shift command V. Stop interact. Macro group. Interact. Global macro group. Macro group. KM only. Macro group. Press KM. Stop in. Press enable slash disable button, period. Press enable slash disable button, period. Option shift 3. Image.
So when you are creating a new macro or
new action button,
adding an action to the macro, you'll find that in this edit area, when you first go into it, you'll have an add action button. So
new action window, actions, scroll area.
New action.
Close action. Actions, scroll area. Interact with bring application windows to front action.
Let's just say I add that. You have to do a V to select the action is actually a double mouse click, VO shift spacebar twice.
Keyboard micro editor window, new okay. Action button.
Now I've added that action.
Image. Bring application windows to front action group.
But
image.
You'll notice that it loops back around
bring
to the
press enable slash disable button. Content select image. Bring application windows to front action group.
It wouldn't if you didn't have loop set on your voiceover, by the way. I do. But the point here is that to add another action is no longer visible. What you need to do at that point is a command KK to bring it back up if you wanted to add another action.
High actions, new action, window, actions, scroll area.
Boom, there it is. So when you're editing, that's the little secret sauce there for grabbing another action.
Yeah, because it actually has another, there is a window that pops up, but it's not the front windows. So, I mean, you can, the command KK is definitely the fastest way to do that. You could go through and look for the window through VOF2, but that, you know, this, that's one of those things. It's not, it doesn't make sense when you have this command KK. It's just like, you know, you're done and you're right where you want to be and you can continue on your way.
Yep.
The only other tip, that I guess is worth pointing out is when you want to delete something, you want to bring focus to the image.
Let me go ahead and delete that one. So
close action selector button.
Close that.
Keyboard maestro editor window. Bring application windows to front. Action group.
So I'm on.
Interact with bring application windows. Bring application windows to front.
Hey, before you do that, can you add one action? Well, let's show them the labeled scroll areas and the action selector.
Oh, and the action selector?
Yeah. Okay.
Show actions.
Check this out.
Oh.
Image. Bring application windows to front. Image. Bring application windows. What? Stop interacting with bring application windows to front. Action group.
Oh, why is it? Okay. Command KK.
Show actions.
There it is.
New action button.
Oh, that's interesting. It was because it wouldn't let me do the command KK because I was interacting with the group.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So.
Image. Press enable slash disable button. Content selected. Edit text.
It's still not doing it.
Show actions.
I think because you closed it.
Enabled. Checkbox. Press enable slash disable button. Content selected. Edit. New action button.
Ah.
There it is. Yeah. Right. You completely closed out the window. So right. we'll leave this in because I want to show you what happens if you close it. Actually, what ends up happening because that window disappears, that
the button turns.
That button comes back. Yeah. And I think that was something that was worth pointing out.
Yeah. Actually, I wasn't aware that it did that. So. Okay. So.
New action window. Actions. Scroll area.
I won't tell him that I actually did know that.
Okay, you don't.
Yeah. Categories, scroll area.
So here's another, the scroll areas that he's labeled. This is category, scroll
interact area. With categories, scroll area. 25 items, all actions, category.
Scroll down. I wouldn't suggest hitting this one. I'll just show you why here.
Press all actions. Stop interacting with actions, scroll area. Interact with actions, scroll area. 221 items. Activate application launcher action.
221 items in here. It's a pain in the butt. Search is your friend.
yeah. And I mean, honestly, this if you just want to get just even a feel for what you can do, go play around in here. I mean, it's just, it's insane the things that you can actually do. And I suspect that he will be adding some other interesting things that are not in here, but I'm not going to talk about this.
Yeah. So... anything else?
No, I think we kind of hit on all the high points here. Honestly, this was really we just kind of said that we told Peter we'd put this podcast together because we wanted to share his accomplishments in making this app accessible. We didn't really want to turn into a long demonstration. I mean, obviously, if there's some real interest in this, you know, might be able to convince us to do a little bit more, but I really think this, what our goal was here to demonstrate about the accessibility improvements, kind of touch on a little bit of the backstory on how we got where we are today, and kind of show a few little tips and tricks and sort of some of the gotchas with that, you know, that still exist, and talk a little bit about the what you can actually do with the app. So I think we kind of hit on all the important points. These macros are certainly something that I know Keith and I both would be willing to share because they're just too awesome to keep to yourself. And it would be great. I mean, if people come up with some other really interesting ones, you know, it'd be nice to hear about it. I can be reached at scottn3byy@gmail.com, and that's Scott with two T's. Keith can be reached at tkwatson63@gmail.com. We hope that you've enjoyed this demonstration of Keyboard Maestro. And if you have any concerns regarding accessibility or require support with the application, please go to the Keyboard Maestro website and you can request assistance there. You may also download a trial copy of Keyboard Maestro from the website. Thank you for listening and have a good one.
This podcast was brought to you by the team at Apple This. For more information and resources to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit the Apple This website at www.applethis.com, where you can also contact the Apple This team.